The theme of the Good Shepherd is one that is a great motif that runs throughout the Scriptures. And for that reason, the early Christian church dedicated an entire week and a Sunday to this special relationship that Christ has with us, his sheep. The text before us today is another example of that beautiful motif taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I didn't grow up on a farm, and you could see that if you watched me go and try to take care of farm animals, which I did once. A friend of mine had me on his farm and asked me to go and feed some pigs with him, and I about got trampled. Those who work in agriculture and work around animals will tell you that the way of taking care of sheep is quite different from taking care of other types of animals. Shepherding sheep is a very different task than taking care of horses or pigs or cattle. Other types of animals are typically driven from the back, but when it comes to sheep, they prefer to be led from the front. The shepherd leads his sheep, and what a beautiful picture that is for us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of all of the different relationships of farmers and animals that Christ had at his disposal to use, but what does he use? He uses the imagery of a shepherd, very common in the day that he preached these words. And there's so much beautiful imagery to depict his work for us, and likewise our relationship to him. The shepherd leads the sheep. He doesn't drive them from the back. He goes in front of them, and he himself goes through the difficult paths and places where he needs to take them, but he has to go through them first and to make sure that they're safe and to make sure that he can get the sheep safely through there. He always goes at the front of the flock. And so what a beautiful picture this is for us, as our text mentions, about how Christ has gone into the grave, has gone into the thing that would appear to be the most fearful to any one of us, the part of our life, the path that is in front of us that looks the scariest and the most treacherous, that the Good Shepherd himself has traversed this path, has gone ahead to navigate and make sure that it is passable for the sheep. He knows us. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can take. And he knows exactly, precisely, the direction and the spots to walk on through the very jagged rocks that could be so dangerous otherwise. And yet, because he himself has now gone through them, he knows exactly how to take us, his flock, through them. And he is confident, as the Almighty Son of God, that he knows the best path that will lead us ultimately to the green pastures of everlasting life. Now, our text certainly mentions the great work of Christ for us, and that's the pinnacle of our faith, to observe him. But the text really here is directed at the sheep, at us, at the members of the flock. Listen again to what the words say. Now, may the God of peace make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight. The text is really talking to us, the sheep, who are following this great good shepherd. It's talking to us about making sure to listen to him and to stay on the path that he has given us and to follow him. You know, if you ever talk to people who lived through combat, actual combat veterans, many of them will tell you that the one that you follow with the greatest intensity and conviction is the general or the commander who's willing to put his Jeep right up in the front of the battle line, when he's willing to go at the front of the spear, if you will, the tip of the spear, and to lead from there, that's the one they're willing to follow. He's willing to put his own life on the line. And people that have gone into battle with generals and commanders like this, those are the ones that they're willing to give their allegiance to and even fight to the death. Why do we, the sheep, why should we have any conviction toward Christ and any willingness to follow him? Because he's put his own life on the line, and not just for temporal death, but to feel hell, to feel our hell, my hell, your hell, that I so clearly deserve by my life and my actions and my mind. But he was willing to put himself and to sacrifice himself over the flames of hell so I would never get to know what that feels like, and so that you would never have to taste that kind of death. This is why the sheep have such an allegiance to the Good Shepherd and are so devoted to him, because he himself has placed himself at the tip of the spear. When I was about 6 years old, I got lost in a bus depot downtown here in Mankato, and a couple of huge busloads of people had just emptied at the bus depot. There were probably 100 to 150 people that had just poured out into the area where I was standing, and I got separated away from my dad. We came down to meet somebody, and all of a sudden I was lost in a sea of these big adults, and I was terrified. To this day, I can remember being afraid and wondering what was going to happen to me. And all of a sudden, I could hear my father's voice yelling out through the crowd and the commotion. And instinctively, I identified with that voice. I need to go find the source of that voice, because that voice will take care of me. I didn't even have to think about it. If your parents called to you when you're a little child in a situation where you might have been lost or in trouble or whatever, and suddenly you heard your mom or your father call, boy, there's just an instinct in you that just automatically goes to that voice, because you know that that voice has your best interest and your welfare in mind. And you know your parent would sacrifice everything to take care of you, like I knew my dad would. And so when I heard his voice calling out to me, Donnie, I knew that I should go to that voice. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes to his sheep in the midst of this life, in whatever, wherever their life is, in whatever thing is facing them in life, and when he calls to them with his voice through his word, their hearts, their minds, their ears instinctively want to turn in that direction, because they know that he always has their best interest in mind. Even when he's calling us away from a particular sin, even when his word speaks to our hearts about something that we clearly know is against his will and that we shouldn't be doing, the voices of the world tell us, no, don't listen to that voice. But what have they ever done for us? What hell has the world ever suffered for you and me? Christ has. And his loving, tender, gentle voice, when it speaks and calls to us, turning our hearts to repentance, is always going to have our best interest in mind. And so the sheep can confidently turn to him, knowing that he is the loving Savior who laid down his life for them and has the green pastures of heaven in the future for them, and by faith are willing to turn and follow what he says. My sheep hear my voice, he says. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one shall pluck them out of my hand. No wonder that the believers say with David in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen.